Should open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 59. We'll just talk a little bit about a theme here in these verses, or an application we can make from it. Thinking about the graduating class down visiting with us. Somebody put this up here. I think this will fit real good. It's talking about a public school graduation. Said they walked in tandem, 92 of them, in a crowded auditorium in their beautiful gowns and traditional caps. They looked almost grown up. Dad smiled. Moms brushed away tears. But the class could not pray during the commencement, not by choice, but because of a recent court order. The principal and several students were careful to stay within the guidelines allowed by the ruling. They gave inspirational and challenging speeches. No one mentioned divine guidance or thanked anybody for blessings. The speeches were nice, but they were routine, until the final speech received a standing ovation. A solitary student walked proudly to the microphone. He stood still and silent for just a moment. And then it happened. All 92 students, every one of them, suddenly sneezed. The student on stage simply looked at the audience and said, "God bless you." He walked off the stage and the audience exploded. Ah, that's what we need, a few guts, amen? Somebody to stand up to some of this junk that's going on. I tell you what. Speak to you a little bit tonight on a subject I'm going to take here from just a few verses in Isaiah 59. I'm going to call it the deceptive web. Some of you think immediately I'm going to be speaking against the internet, don't you? Well, if I can work that in, I'll try. Because it needs hitting, amen, every now and then. Now, Israel's sins are listed here in Isaiah 59. And says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs also," or get it right, "their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." The Lord is listing his case here against the Jews, against Israel, against his people. And in so doing, he reaches down, he pulls up the cockatrice, he pulls up the spider's web, and he uses that to illustrate. And the cockatrice is basically a venomous serpent, a serpent that you wouldn't want to mess with. And most of us aren't too fond of spiders. Once in a while, you see somebody that lets a spider crawl around on them, but most of us are like Garfield the cat. We'll swat them, amen? We're not too terribly fond of them. And he's talking about Israel's sin, and here he's using, and the one I want to pick out is not the cockatrice, but the spider, and the spider and the spider's web to illustrate something here. And I personally know a little bit about spiders. I was in a business where I had to study it some, and I never was good in biology in school. I think I made the worst grade in biology, and then I went to work for a company later. Hey, kids, listen. Don't ever sit in class and say, "I'll never need this stuff." Boy, God has a way of making you need it. And the worst grade I ever remember getting in a subject in school was in biology. And later I got a job with a company where I needed to know something about biology. Now I had to cram. I mean, I had to work on that thing. And I know a little bit about spiders. And the web here parallels Satan's trap. You know, the web is a trap the spider sets to catch things with. And do you understand Satan sets traps also? Like I say, I didn't do very good in biology. I do remember dissecting some frogs. Anybody ever had to dissect a frog? Now, some of these big old redneck boys, they just whack their legs off and put them in a pan. I went down to Lake Eva. It's still down there, you know. I went down to Lake Eva and caught two big bullfrogs because the biology teacher told us we had to. And I went home to that little house right behind the building there. That's where I lived, and from the 6th grade to the 12th grade. And I went in there. I had nowhere else to put them, so I put them in the bathtub. Old-fashioned bathtub, high sides on it. And I didn't think about it, but I heard Mother screaming. And, and those things, I kept them in there a pretty good little while, and they were so slimy and nasty. She, oh, man, I had a good mother, and thank God Dad was gone. So, you know, he was off on a truck somewhere. But I remember dissecting them things. But I didn't do too good in biology. But most of you know a spider is not an insect. He's got too many legs, right? I think he's got 8 legs and 8 eyes, and so he's not qualified as an insect. But most of us kind of think of them that way anyhow. But we think about spiders. Probably the most famous is the black widow that eats her husband. Amen. That's the truth. You do know that, don't you? Or the tarantula, and there's a few more. And Florida was not so bad for those things. They got the brown one now that's a lot of folks get bit by, but hardly ever anybody dies. When a spider bites you, it's a little different because it kind of rots out around where he bit, so it don't heal up as like a bee sting or something else quite as good, but it kind of rot out there just a little bit. But quite frankly, most of them are pretty harmless. Now, they got all those eyes. I remember as a young man going out to the Grove driving a fruit truck, and you'd drive a fruit truck, Brother Condon can tell you, in those days, hardly any of them had windshields on them. They were cut out narrow so they could get between the trees. And the rows of orange trees were built pretty close together, and you drive that truck between. But you get out there about daylight, you'd pull that truck up, you're fixing to go down that middle, we call it a middle, kind of like an aisle, and the lights would shine and all these stars would look back at you because it was webs between the trees, and all every spider with at least 8 eyes shining like the stars back at you. Now, any of you, I know I'm teaching you science tonight, this is deep. Any of you ever go rabbit hunting with a light at night? Raise your hand. Yeah, you remember seeing the spider? That's very few hands. Got a bunch of city folks in here tonight. But we country boys would go hunting with a light on our head and a battery on our side right here. And you'd shine out there trying to hunt a rabbit. You get his eye to shine. You get the rabbit's eye to shine. If you see more than one eye when you're hunting a rabbit, he's not a rabbit. That's right. Because see, his head's like this, got an eye on this side, eye, he can't see them both at one time. Now, I told you this was deep. Now, stay with me. If you shine and you got 2 eyes looking back at you, it's a raccoon or it's a bobcat or something like that. But sometimes you think you saw a rabbit's eye, and you know what it'd be? A great big spider eye. I mean, he'd be reflecting right back at you. And yet, when you get that truck, you'd drive right down there, and the webs would get all over you, and the spiders would be all over you, and wiping them off and trying to get them out of your eyes, and nobody ever thought about one biting us. That was not part of the picture. Later on, I got to work for this company, and we'd have to crawl under houses checking for termites, and you'd get your flashlight, and you'd go down there, and you'd shine under there, and all these stars under the house. Spider eyes. You crawl on under there, and you got webs all over you and your face and everything. But we got so used to it, we didn't think anything about it. I know Brother Hester knows what I'm talking about. My brother Harvey, different ones, Brother Pritchard. You've all had that experience. Dark under the house. Hey, by the way, sometimes it was snake eyes, too. But the spiders would be always there looking back at you. And the truth is, the spider is something we know something about, and God takes something we know something about and tells us these sins that he's talking about with Israel here are typified or pictured, symbolized by the cockatrice, the venomous snake, the spider, something that's distasteful and dangerous, if you please. And I want to draw just a few comparisons with Satan's web. To begin with, I want to say the spider's web is tenacious. What I mean by that is the spider never quits. He's always working on that web. He's always building it up. He's always setting that trap. Now, ladies, you know this. You sweep him down out of the corner, and tomorrow he's back. The webs amaze you how they just keep coming. Don't you get aggravated? You know, you walk out, and right where there shouldn't be a web, you just walk right through it sometime. We all had that experience. They're tenacious. They don't quit. And they're tough. The spray that kills a mosquito or another bug generally won't kill a spider. Back in the pest control business, when they put tents over houses to kill the drywood termites, one of the ways they test when they pull the tent off the house, if it's been a good job and the gas has been held long enough to kill the termites, you first look to see if you can find any dead spiders. And quite often I'd find spiders and take my pen out and poke them a little bit and see if they're still wiggling. Because if the gas didn't work good, if it didn't kill the spiders, it might not have penetrated the wood and killed the termites. So that's one termite. So that's one of the ways we would check with things. They're tough. Now, they're patient. They would build a well. Do you ever wonder, you got your car parked right out here in the open. There's not a tree. There's not a bush. And yet you walk to it, and webs are on your car. How'd the webs get there? No tree, no bush. They actually build themselves a little balloon out of a web and go floating through the air. They'll do it early in the morning. You see these balloons, you look toward Disney World in the morning, you see them up in the air. You know why they go up in the morning? That's generally when the breeze is still. The dew is out, and boy, when they heat that gas, that old balloon goes up. Now, I don't know what the spider does, but he knows how to float it and get right on my car. In fact, one has been personally bothering me here lately. I've wiped his web off, and so help me, the next morning it's right back. It's right back. And there's just more to it than you think. So when God pulls a spider out here to illustrate how Satan connives and how he works and how he's tenacious and how he never quits, that's the way it is with the spider. You know, he's patient to build a web. Inside that spider, there's six little spinning wheels. Major wheels, and then there's some miniature wheels off of that. How many of you know how long a football field is? Do you realize that even a small spider, if you could stretch it out from one goal post to the other, that's how much web he's got in him? Can you imagine that? Those things are so fine until one of the things that man uses a spider web for is a little old strand of it is often used in a microscope. It's one of the little fine things, and it's so strong for its size. And while we think of it as silk and perhaps that sort of material, still it's an interesting thing. Those little spinning wheels. Now I know some of you raised on Spider-Man like I was raised on the Lone Ranger. I prefer the Lone Ranger. More realistic than Spider-Man. But anyway, you understand how he just throws his rope out there, his web out there. Well, that's all done with a computer, I guess. But that spider has 100 yards of that material, at least, in him. And he builds carefully. He adds one thread upon another. They have actually documented where a certain kind of spider, in a certain location, will have a limb up here maybe 2 or 3 foot from the ground, and he'll send a thread down, wrap it around a shell that may weigh as much as a pound, and that thread is wet, and then it begins to dry He sends another one down, and another one down, and they're wet and they begin to dry. He keeps on till he'll finally pick up a shell weighing a pound that high off the ground and build her nest in it, the spider will. That's a particular kind of spider. It's amazing, the engineering that they carry on, and they do. Evolution is a wonderful thing, isn't it? If you believe that, brother, that's God. That's instinct. That's God's creation, man. Man can't begin to match that. But he builds carefully, thread by thread. He secretes a little sticky, shiny gum on it, anchors it down. And then when he gets his trap built, he generally builds it in a particular place. And then the spider retreats back into a dark corner and waits. The web is out there. It's a trap. One strand will reach all the way back to the spider's foot. And he's like a fisherman watching his cork, feeling a tug on the line. And when the unsuspecting creature gets in the web, the spider feels the tug. He knows his trap has caught something. You know the devil is just like that. He sets up a trap for you. He backs back. He's the prince of darkness. He backs back into a dark corner. He sits there. He's got more eyes than a spider. He's watching everything. He's got better bait than just a web, but he's got it all set. And he's hid out of view. You don't see him. He's the one that's waiting on you to tug on his line. He's tenacious. He don't stop. He's always building a web. He's always got something waiting. And then I'll say this about the spider. He's toxic. Not only tenacious, but toxic. Toxic like fumes. Do you know fumes can slip up on you and get you without you even smelling them sometimes? Do you know a lot of folks die of carbon monoxide because they can't smell it? And it traps them. It just slips up on them. And the spider's like that. We see the picture of the web now. It's been built. It's been sitting there. And the spider's back in a dark corner. He's got his foot on the cord, waiting for a signal, and he's patient. He's toxic. He's ready to go, and he's sitting back there, and he's waiting. And then here comes a little fly, buzzing along. Bzzz. Teenage fly sees that shiny web in the glittering in the sunlight. He said, you know, Mama told me to leave those shiny things alone. They were dangerous. But Mama is an old fogey. Mama don't know. That's so pretty. I don't know. Maybe it's a boy fly. Maybe he's macho. Or maybe it's a little girl that just says, Mama don't want folks to know how pretty I am. So she's hiding me back, keeping me out of the public eye. Just a little teenage fly and sees that shiny web. Well, you ever seen somebody that couldn't look at something without touching it? We all have, haven't we? Sign says wet paint. What do? Every time. That's human. Sure is. So the little teenage fly touches. And it sticks. But they're not worried. It's a little sticky, but I'm all right. Well, you just wait till you see me put it in reverse. Something's wrong. I'm going to try low gear. Well, I just reach over here with the other foot and push that one free. Uh-oh. Now both of them stuck. Now, brother, it's time for the supercharger to kick in. Don't work either. So it's this way and it's this way and it's this way. And finally, well, if I just rest a little bit, it'll be all right. I'll get my strength back in a minute. But just as the little fly begins to rest, She thinks she sees out of the side of her eyes some eyes looking at her over here. Are they getting closer? They are getting closer. I'm playing with you some, but I want you to get the point. Because some of you already got 1 foot in the web. Some of you already disobeyed mama and disobeyed the preacher and disobeyed the Bible and disobeyed God. Now you got to be exposed. You got to be seen. Somebody's got to discover you. Somebody is going to discover you. Guess who? That little old fly begins to see something moving, getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. You know what? It's too late to put it in reverse. It's too late to kick loose. That's the way the devil's web works today. And with no joking at all, it just traps people because they got to touch it. They got to try it. They got to experiment. They can't listen to the word that says, leave it alone. Flee youthful lust. Run, get out of here. Don't be caught there. Don't go there. Change your friends. All of that business, just touch it with 1 foot. Devil's web works that way. It works that way, not only in young people. And I said I'd work the internet in somewhere. This would take care of you adults. If you've ever had any tendency at all to want to look at porn, you better stay off the internet when you don't have some checks and balances set up. And you say, I'm strong now, I got over that. Is that right? Yeah, that's what the spider wants you to think. That's what the devil wants you to think. You'll be in deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, churches get trapped in this web. It does. Let me say this. Do you understand that liberalism don't come in all of a sudden? You know that liberalism is because somebody touched something and it stuck something they wasn't supposed to touch. That's the way it happens. It really happens that way. You know what happens? Folks go to church. They've been in that church 30 years, 40 years. That church has been straight and stood for something and had convictions and had standards and had the right Bible and had the right music. But the old folks begin to get a little weaker, kind of back out of the leadership. Next thing you know, the preacher has to change, and some young fella comes in that's proud of all his degrees, and he knows what Dr. Drydust said at college, and he's not going to be one of them old fogey preachers. So he comes in, but he's got some cute jokes and some good stories, and he gets voted in. But then the next thing you know, that church has got both feet in the web. The Bible's changed, the music's changed, and the standards changed. All some of the old folks, they begin to buzz. They begin to say, bzzup, bzzup. But they're trapped. They're trapped. They can't change it. They can't correct it. They can't keep it right. They've already messed up. All that's happening to that church is waiting for the devil to come on out of the dark corner and get a hold of them and finish them off. That's all it's waiting on. See, it can happen to a church. It'll happen to a church when a church gets complacent and begins to take the good things that they've always had for granted. You know what we're guilty of and better watch out for here at Landmark is just what I just said. Taking the good things for granted. You know, we say, well, bless God, we got the King James Bible. Preachers even had one for 30-something years over the choir. We're not going to change. You might be surprised. Time down the road. Say, well, we got the right music. Say, I went to church there on Wednesday night, and Brother Cruz sang some old-fashioned hymns, dead as a doornail. Yeah, but safe. Safe. You say, well, we didn't feel much like patting our foot or boogieing around tonight. Well, you probably didn't. But it's safe. Sticking by the old stuff, safe. I'm not against the little lightheartedness. I told the choir tonight to liven things up when they started singing. You do a little bit of that, but there is a line you better not cross, or you're going to get stuck. And you can't get out of it. But watch out for that. Yeah, church can really start taking things. We've done it. You know, we used to be really proud that God let us have a Christian school here, keep our kids from the devil, from the world. We're even proud of our strictness. Bless God, you're going to have your hair cut right. You girls are going to have on dresses, blah, blah, blah. We're proud of that. And then all of a sudden, got too many rules down there. It's pinching. Uh-huh. You got a foot in it, hadn't you? Already got stuck. Buzzing, but you can't get loose. Too bad. But that's exactly the way it works. Take it for granted. Got a good choir singing the right stuff. People have to come early. They have to practice. They have to put in some effort. And let's don't take that for granted. Let's don't take our school staff for granted. Our college, not the biggest in the world, but the best. Amen. But we better keep remembering that. God's given us a radio station now with the technology reaching around the world. And it amazes me from where we hear from on it. And we kind of got used to that, though. Kind of take it for granted now. I remember when it was a thrill. I remember the day the radio station was going to come on the air. I purposely got in my car, turned the radio on, and just wasted gas driving around seeing where I could hear it. I hadn't done that in a long time, I'll tell you. But I was excited over it. Years ago. Many years ago. You know the children of Israel were out there 40 years in the wilderness, and you remember they had manna fall from heaven. And boy, were they excited over that. For a while. For a while. And then they got to criticizing it. We're tired of this light bread from heaven. And they started criticizing what they used to praise. Are you hearing me? And if you're not careful, you'll fall into that very trap. The thing we used to praise got old now. Criticize it. Criticize it. Hey, that's just human nature. You know what catches the fly in the web? Just nature. Just doing what comes natural to a little fly. Flying into the web. Oh, yeah. Just with this last buzz, that little old fly notices some eyes getting closer. And then it sees the most horrible scene it's ever seen as it looks at that long, fanged spider coming to embalm him. You see, when the spider sticks one of those fangs in the fly, he don't kill him. He just puts him to sleep. Because he saves him for a midnight snack. He wants him to be well preserved. So he don't always eat him right then. He'll come back maybe more than one time to suck the body fluids out. And the little old fly for a while is just in a coma. You look around today and see how many folks had their spirituality sucked out. They're in a coma. They're just placid. They're just zombie. Visitation? Oh, who in the world would go on visitation? Who in the world would go soul winning? Who in the world would work a bus ministry? Who in the world would actually come up here on Sunday afternoon at 5:30 to practice in the choir? You can't get zombies to do that. They've already had the spirituality sucked out of them. They've been trapped in a web. You can't hardly hear a good buzz out of some of them. Amen. Teenagers say, I'll never get in that trap. Famous last words of some teenagers, it'll never happen to me. I'll never have a wreck, Daddy. Give me the car. You won't be around the corner of the next block before you're trying to get a wheel. That means spinning the tires. Used to be the rear tires. Now some of you don't know that they used to have rear tires that pulled. Toys you drive around now and call cars, but anyway. No, I won't ever wreck, Daddy. Mama, I'll never get pregnant. But I got to go where those that do are doing it are at. You're getting a foot stuck in there. You're going to be in that trap before you know it. And you won't buzz your way out of it. Won't happen to me. You see, the spider's tenacious. He's toxic. And he's terminal. See, Satan is like a spider. He's hidden. He's unseen. He's waiting to see who gets in his trap. That old spider's got that string on that web. He's back here. See, if the spider was in the web when the little fly come by and he saw that horrible-looking thing, he'd buzz on off. But he don't see anything but a shiny, beautiful, designed web. That's the way Satan is an angel of light. He makes a pretty picture to get you involved. But he's in the dark corner. He's got a string. He's waiting for you to jiggle it. Waiting for you to signal him that you've been trapped. So the web is terminal. That fly begins to see the eyes approaching, the things approaching. That old fly has just got very little strength now left in him. He can barely buzz, but he sees that horrible looking creature. And if you ever looked at a spider under a magnifying glass, he's an ugly thing. Do you know he's got, what is it, in the average spider, I'm trying to think, he's got close to 1,000 holes in his body. I mean, I have looked at them, and some of you maybe have. They're not pretty. Scary looking thing. Missionaries tell us about some of those tarantulas over there on the mission field that if you even get within a little ways of them, they'll jump off of a banana tree and land on you. And if you don't swat him off quick, where he bites, you'll rotten out big as your fist. I'm thinking about a man right now that I saw him come home on furlough. He said that he had that thing. He's still doctoring it. He said a spider jumped off a banana tree and got him. Now, most of the time, the spider just set a trap and come after the prey's been caught. But they're ugly things. Can you imagine that little fly right there? He sees that thing coming with his eyes and with the hairy legs and with those fangs out there. And he sees that thing just getting closer and getting closer. And he tries to buzz. He sings, oh, if I'd have just listened to mama, if I'd have just listened to the preacher, and that thing is getting closer, and he sees them big fangs out there, and he sees all, and he's looking in his eyes, and all of a sudden that thing pounces on him like that. It's all over. It's all over then. You know what? I thank God in Jesus Christ is a way to get out of the web. Let me say better. Never get in it. Never get in it. Oh, yeah, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, but I tell you what, a lot of God's people running around with scars on them they shouldn't have. God did rescue them, but they got the scar. The scar may be a bad memory. I mean, too bad I didn't listen. Got myself in the spot. Talk about a real vampire, a spider's pretty close to one. Not this fake stuff and all this junk stuff. Comes in and embalms that little fly, puts him to sleep. Only that's the sleep of eternal death for that fly. Or for whatever he catches. You and I need to understand that we don't have to get in the trap. We've been warned. So how'd I stay out of it? At the first glitter. At the first attraction. That's when you got time to get out of it. Not after you got hung up in it. And you see, there's no second chance for that little fly. And if you're not saved tonight, I'm going to tell you, you're already in Satan's web. He's back there in the dark corner. He's got his eye on you. He's already moving out to finish you off. And the only way out is not to buzz your way out, but to believe your way out. To turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him save you. He will. You'd think everybody'd want out of the web. But some have the attitude, let me stay a little longer. It's so much fun. All in time, I'll get out. Next thing you know, they can't buzz anymore. They've been embalmed. They're asleep. They're dead. They're eternally dead. They've been deceived by the devil. The Bible says some things about spiders. It says that the spider, over in Proverbs chapter 30, the spider taketh hold with her hands. I don't know why it calls her, ladies. King James Bible. Spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. You know what that means? It means it can be anywhere. The king don't want a spider. You don't want a spider, lady, in your bedroom. You get rid of them. But they show up again. They'd be anywhere. And the devil can be anywhere. And is anywhere that you get going his way. He'll have a spider web for you. He'll have a trap set for you somewhere. And the sad truth is a lot of folks have fallen for it. Christian, if you cut back on God, you may already have a foot in the spider web. Teen, you want to sow your wild oaks and show how pretty you are, how macho you are, you may already. See, that spider web can look like rap music. It can look like worldly dress. It can look like a lot of things, but it's the devil's trap. It's the devil's trap. And especially if you're not saved, oh, my friend, you're already in his trap. And you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you. Bible says that when Jesus came, he came to undo the works of the devil. Amen. He come to do what I do when I walk out to my car and that spider web's there. Take care of it. Jesus took care of it. Amen. He tore that web down. Amen. And you want to be set free. He's the only one going to be able to set you.